Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In headlines, it's Thursday, December the 12th. Pope Francis releases his message for the upcoming World Day of Peace. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas visits the Vatican and discusses the need for a ceasefire in Gaza, as well as the Catholic Church's broader role in the region. And we take a look at the Pope's upcoming journey to Corsica, which will be taking place this Sunday. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tollock. Pope Francis has released his message for the 58th World Day of Peace, which will be marked on the 1st of January next year. Entitled, Forgive Us Our Trespasses, Grant Us Your Peace, the message reflects on the upcoming Jubilee of Hope and reiterates the pressing need for debt forgiveness around the world, reminding us that we are all debtors to one another and to God. Lisa Zengarini has more.
Hope has been a constant theme running through all Pope Francis' World Day of Peace messages. This is all the more so in his message for 2025, as the Church begins the Jubilee of Hope amid an unprecedented combination of challenges facing the world today. The message is dedicated to the theme Forgive Us, Our Trespasses, Grant Us Your Peace, underscoring the deep meaning of the Jubilee tradition that reminds us that we are all in debt to God. Recalling that in the Jewish tradition, the Jubilee was a special year of universal remission of sins and debts, liberating the oppressed, the Pope notes that in our day too, this special year of grace is an event that inspires us to seek to establish the liberating justice of God in our world, marred by systemic injustices such as environmental degradation, exploitation, forced migration, and the immense resources spent on the army industry. These interconnected crises, he argues, demand not sporadic acts of philanthropy, but cultural and structural changes. When we lose sight of our relationship with God, the Pope says, we forget that the goods of the earth are meant for everyone, and human relations become tainted by the logic of exploitation and oppression, perpetuating injustices, as showcased by the debt crisis, trapping poorer nations in a vicious circle of dependency and inequality. As a pathway of hope, Pope Francis offers three proposals. First, he reiterates the call for substantial reductions or the outright cancellation of international debts of poorer nations, also in light of the ecological debt the more prosperous countries owe them. The Pope then asks for a firm commitment to respect the dignity of human life, calling for the abolition of the death penalty. Finally, he reiterates his appeal for diverting funds from armaments to global initiatives aimed at eradicating hunger and at fostering sustainable development. The overarching goal of these proposals, the Pope concludes, is the attainment of true and lasting peace, which he says is not merely the absence of war, but involves a profound transformation of hearts. I am Lisa Zengarini.
And on the subject of peace, Pope Francis met this morning with Mahmoud Abbas, president of the State of Palestine. As Linda Bordoni reports, the pair discussed the need for a ceasefire in Gaza, as well as the Catholic Church's role in the broader Middle East region and the hope for a return of pilgrims to the Holy Land.
During some 30 minutes of conversation, the Pope and the President of the State of Palestine spoke of the very serious humanitarian situation in Gaza, of their mutual hope for a ceasefire, and of the need to release all hostages as soon as possible. Thursday mornings was their first face-to-face encounter in 3 years. A statement released by the Holy See Press Office shortly after the audience revealed that Mahmoud Abbas also held talks with the Vatican Secretary of State and Foreign Minister Cardinal Parolin and Archbishop Gallagher, with whom he discussed the important contribution of the Catholic Church to Palestinian society, the need to implement a two-state solution, not with violence, but via diplomacy and dialogue, and the importance of a special status for Jerusalem in order that it may be a place of friendship for the three great monotheistic religions. Finally, the statement said the upcoming 2025 Jubilee was discussed, and hope was expressed that the Holy Year may lead to the return of pilgrims to the Holy Land. And speaking to Vatican Media's Roberto Cetera immediately after his audience with the Pope, President Abbas said the meeting had been a fruitful one, adding that every time he meets Pope Francis, It's like meeting an old friend. I thank the Holy Father, he said, for his constant words about peace in the Middle East and for the solidarity he always expresses with the Palestinian civilians who are victims of the war in Gaza. I asked him, he continued, to continue to promote the recognition of the state of Palestine in the international community. If peace is to be achieved, he concluded, there is no alternative to the two-state solution. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And while the Pope and Palestinian President were meeting in Rome, Israeli strikes on Gaza continued. As Nathan Morley reports, at least 38 Palestinians have been killed in recent bombardments.
Reports from the region say that at least 10 people, including women and children, were killed in an Israeli airstrike on a residential building in Gaza City. Soon after, in a refugee camp, 15 others were killed in another Israeli airstrike on a house for displaced people, and 13 people lost their lives when guarding aid lorries west of Rafah City. They were targeted by Israeli missiles. Elsewhere, a 12-year-old child was killed in a Palestinian shooting on an Israeli bus in the occupied West Bank. At least three others were injured. On Wednesday, the United Nations said the humanitarian aid to Gaza had been largely blocked for the past 66 days. It's thought that around 75,000 Palestinians are without access to food, water, electricity, or any kind of health care. Furthermore, the United Nations calculates that at least $6.6 billion is required to address the humanitarian needs of people in Gaza and the West Bank. Earlier this week, the UN called for the immediate delivery of humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip, emphasizing the dire conditions of over 500,000 Palestinians as the winter approaches. The UN says that as winter sets in, 545,000 people in Gaza are living in damaged buildings and makeshift shelters, underscoring the urgency of ensuring that thousands of tarpaulins and repair materials can be safely brought into the Strip without delay. Elsewhere, Israel carried out airstrikes on the outskirts of Damascus on Thursday, according to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And Nathan mentioned the situation in Syria there. With the fall of the Assad regime, many Syrians are returning home, while others are waiting to see how things unfold before leaving the countries they're currently in. The UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, continues to help Syrians, whether internally displaced Syrians or refugees abroad, as they face both the winter season and uncertainty on the ground. UNHCR Senior Communications Advisor Rula Amin spoke to UN News about the rapidly changing situation.
We do and have received reports of people moving across the border. Some Syrians are moving from Lebanon into Syria, but it's not huge numbers. And we are seeing thousands of Syrians also fleeing the situation in Syria and crossing into Lebanon. Now, it's very important to keep in mind the situation on the ground is very fluid. There's a lot of uncertainty. People want to ensure that if they go back to their homes and villages, they are safe. And so many people are still watching this very rapidly changing situation in order to assess what is it going to be on the ground and how the situation is going to be on the ground in Syria, especially Syrian refugees. As you know, there are more than 6 million Syrian refugees around the world. Most of them have expressed hope, at least to UNHCR, that one day they will be able to return to Syria.
Thanks there to UNHCR Senior Communications Advisor Rula Amin. Pope Francis has sent a message to residents of Rome ahead of the upcoming 2025 Holy Year, or Jubilee. As we look ahead to the millions of pilgrims entering the Eternal City, the Pope asked the people of Rome to show the pilgrims hospitality, opening their homes to the pilgrims. Francesca Merlo tells us more.
Pope Francis has asked residents in Rome to be welcoming to the millions of pilgrims who will be travelling from all over the world to the Eternal City for the Jubilee year. In a letter published on Thursday, Pope Francis makes reference to the Jubilee of teenagers and the Jubilee of youth, which will both take place over the summer months. These greatly anticipated meetings, the Pope says, will be a great sign of hope. He explains, young people carry in their hearts the rich faith of their churches and communities, along with their commitment to build a world of peace and solidarity. In his letter, the Pope invites the families, parish communities and religious communities of Rome to open their homes to welcome these young people, offering them a sign of friendship and participation in their joy. He goes on to note that although the Jubilee of Youth will certainly require extra generosity, the gift you will receive from the encounter with the enthusiasm and testimony of these young people will be far greater than any effort. The Pope emphasizes that families, and in particular those with young people and teenagers, will experience how enriching the bond of friendship that will be established between their children and the young guests will be. And finally, quoting from the letter to the Hebrews, the Pope reflects, "Do not neglect hospitality, for through it, some have unknowingly entertained angels." I'm Francesca Merlo.
And Pope Francis also met this morning with seminarians from the major interdiocesan seminary of Santiago de Compostela in Spain. He praised the men and their superiors for undertaking a joint formation programme across three northwestern Spanish dioceses and encouraged them in what he called a challenging endeavour. They hail from the area surrounding the cathedral where the Apostle of St. James the Great is buried, the Pope said, toward which hundreds of thousands of pilgrims journey each year along the Camino de Santiago, guided by painted yellow arrows. "Never stop being those yellow arrows," the Pope said. "These yellow arrows which, like St. John the Baptist, point to Jesus. And make sure you tell everyone with your words, but especially with your way of life, behold the Lamb of God." And now turning to our last story today, on the 15th of December, that's this Sunday, Pope Francis will undertake his 47th apostolic journey, which will take him to Corsica. There he will take part in a conference on popular religiosity in the Mediterranean before meeting with the clergy and faithful of the French island. Christopher Wells tells us more.
When Pope Francis arrives in the Corsican capital of Ajaccio on Saturday, he'll be focusing on the popular piety of the faithful of the Mediterranean while also confronting the serious challenges of war and migration, which have turned the Mediterranean into an open-air cemetery. The lightning visit of less than 12 hours will center on the Conference on Popular Religiosity in the Mediterranean, a two-day event organized by Cardinal François Xavier Bustillo, the Bishop of Ajaccio. More than 400 participants will be present for the conference, including French, Italian, and Spanish bishops, as well as academics and representatives of the various countries surrounding the Mediterranean. During a press conference on Thursday introducing the voyage, the director of the Holy See Press Office, Matteo Bruni, offered further details of the Pope's journey. Holy Father will be greeted at the airport by the Minister of the Interior and the Minister for Europe and Foreign Affairs, as well as a cadre of young people. Then, on his way to the conference, the Pope will stop briefly at the recently discovered Baptistry of St. John, which dates back to the 6th century. After addressing the conference, Pope Francis will go to the Cathedral of Santa Maria Assumpta, where he will meet with priests, religious, and seminarians. The brief visit to Corsica will conclude with Mass celebrated by Pope Francis in the Place d'Austerlitz, with some 7,000 faithful expected to take part. Finally, before returning to Rome, the Pope will meet briefly with French President Emmanuel Macron for a private conversation. I'm Christopher Wells.
So Chris mentioned there the Holy Father's upcoming apostolic journey to Corsica. That will be this Sunday, beginning at 7:45 in the morning, Central European time. The Pope will be leaving Rome at that time. We'll, of course, be providing full coverage of the journey with English language translations and commentary. You can find that on our website, www.vaticannews.va, and also on our YouTube and social media channels. Just search Vatican News. That's all we have time for on this edition of Vatican and World News. You can, as always, get the latest updates on Facebook, X and Instagram. Many thanks go to Gabriele Di Domenico in the studio. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Cholek. Goodbye.